This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Today we continue our series, Portraits of a Changing China. NPR's Beijing correspondent Rob Gifford is profiling five people whose lives have been touched by the dramatic changes underway in the world's most populous country. One of the most pressing issues is unemployment, with people all over China losing their jobs as that country tries to reform its communist economy. This morning, we meet a laid-off factory worker from the northeastern city of Shenyang.
In the main cities of China, the capital Beijing, say, or the economic center Shanghai, the country looks changed. Modern highways, fancy cars, new facilities, and a higher standard of living for many people. But for every reform-era success story, there are at least 5 or 10 disaster zones. Places like Shenyang, in the northeast of the country, in what used to be known as Manchuria. This was the heart of industrial China, where the proud proletariat used to toil. Now it's known as the Rust Belt, a vast swathe of industrial wasteland where bloated state-owned enterprises are laying off millions of workers. Unofficial estimates say that unemployment here may be as high as 30%. Local black humor has it that the only people with jobs are the cops and the hookers. Cities like Shenyang have become powder kegs of discontent in recent years as China switches to a market economy and the communist dream has faded. Growing unrest in these cities is confronting the government in Beijing with the biggest threat to social stability since the demonstrations in Tiananmen Square in 1989. At 9 o'clock on a hot but overcast summer morning, a job fair opens in central Shenyang. A group of middle-aged men are hanging around by the entrance, sneering at the coverage likely to be given the fair in the local media. They don't dare to report the truth, says one tall man with slick back hair. They'll just say what a successful job fair it was and how lots of laid-off workers found new jobs. When approached away from the crowd, the man hesitates but eventually agrees to talk a little more.
I've been looking forward to this job fair for weeks. My wife was too ashamed to come herself, so I came today for both of us. I've brought all the necessary documents to show my experience, but everyone says I'm too old for any job now.
The man leads the way to a small tea house round the corner. He hesitates again when asked his name, but says, call him Li Hua. When he starts to talk, it's clear why that might not be his real name. His anger at the Communist Party is palpable. Li represents a whole generation of Chinese workers who now feel betrayed by the Communist Party. They're the Chinese baby boomers, born in the 1950s when Manchuria was in its heyday. The Communist Party had replaced the social chaos of the 30s and 40s with cradle-to-grave employment and care in the shape of massive industrial factories.
My father was the leader of a workers' propaganda group. He said working classes lead everything, and they will soon lead the world. Chairman Mao's portrait was everywhere in our home, and my father thought peasants and workers were much more important than intellectuals.
Li's father's emphasis on class struggle rather than study was the norm, and it meant that Li was not encouraged to continue his education. What's the point of study, asked his father, when intellectuals are going nowhere? After his dream of education evaporated, Li trained as an electrician and worked at state-owned factories for more than 30 years. The salary wasn't high, but his wife and their daughter could live well, though simply, with healthcare, education, and housing provided. He says that was their paradise, their communism.
What is communism? Not to worry about food and clothing was our communism. But now we are drifting further away from that dream. In my generation, we all talked about realizing the goals of communism. But now it doesn't exist anymore. So what are we realizing? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Li pauses and lights up a cigarette, a habit he says he's picked up again since he became unemployed 3 years ago. It all began to go wrong when suddenly his factory was taken over by what he calls a hooligan capitalist. State-owned enterprises represent a serious financial burden for local governments, with too many workers and too many pensions to pay. So cities like Shenyang are selling off factories to businessmen or anyone else who wants to buy them. The lack of enforcement of labor laws and absence of adequate legal infrastructure has meant that well-connected businessmen can come in, grab the assets on the cheap, and lay off all the workers.
I was laid off 3 years ago, and the new boss said he wasn't even going to pay me my pension money or the money I'd paid over the years into the Social Security Fund. When a private entrepreneur takes over a state-owned company, he is supposed to renew the contract of the workers.
When Li and the other workers challenged the new boss about their pensions, they were told that was the government's responsibility. The factory then hired cheaper temporary workers from the countryside. Different variations of this scenario are being played out all over China, and the only recourse people have is to come out on the streets and demonstrate. Several months ago, in cities across Manchuria, people did just that, not protesting for multi-party democracy or political reform, just wanting to get paid the pitiful pensions or health care provision that they're owed. The local governments quelled the demonstrations with the usual carrot of paying off most of the workers and the stick of arresting the ringleaders. Suddenly, Li Hua starts to sing, his proud forehead straining with emotion and his eyes welling up with tears. It's a lament from the Song Dynasty 1200 years ago. An honest man rails against an official who is oppressing the people. I have a mouth, but I cannot express anything, says the song. There's no place for justice in this land. Li Hua says that, like the man in the song, he too would like to kill the corrupt officials of Shenyang who he sees every day in their fancy cars. Last year, a deputy mayor of the city was finally arrested and executed after stealing millions of dollars of public funds and spending it in casinos in Macau. Li stops singing and gets ready to leave. He still looks like he's about to cry. Now he says he just has one wish, and that's for his 20-year-old daughter just about to finish college.
I don't want my daughter to repeat the course of my life. My only hope is she will live better than us, and we have more freedom to do and say what she wants. So I'm struggling for her. Our generation has suffered a lot. What's a bit more suffering? But she said to me the other day that when she graduates, the first thing she wants to do is make my life better.
He wipes his eyes, finishes off his cigarette, and stands up to leave. Thank you, he says, with a half smile as he steps out into the street. I've never told all that to anyone before. And he turns away and slips anonymously into the crowd. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Shenyang, northeastern China.